In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this message is a portion of the first reading you heard just a few moments ago, where Paul says this: I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I'm against success. What about you? I'm afraid that a yes answer to that question is not one that would come out of many of our mouths. And to be honest with you, mine neither. I'm a highly driven person. I want to do my best at whatever I do, from being the best husband, father, pastor, golfer, you name it. The competitive spirit inside of me drives me to this. But what's new? That's the way it is with many people in our world today. Many of us feel the pressure to excel in whatever we do, even though we know better because of our values. Status, rank, power, recognition are not easily turned away by any one of us. So when the Apostle Paul in today's first reading seems to be downplaying success, when he says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, we do not respond too well to those words. We do not like to hear that the goal of success and importance in life is not what God has in mind for us. And who of us wants to brag about our weaknesses? How there can be power in weakness is really beyond my thinking. And yet God, in sending Christ to our world to save us from our sin and from ourselves, totally does away with the power and status games that we human beings like to play with one another. He makes the weak strong and the strong weak. We, in fact, don't even have to wait for God to do this. We do it to ourselves. In our drive for success, we forget that success is a fleeting kind of thing, that it slips away from us when we hold on to it the tightest, that it makes us arrogant and proud. That Paul understood this goes without saying. That's why with joy he could say, to keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the wonderful things I have seen, I was given a painful physical ailment, a thorn in my flesh, which acts as Satan's messenger to me and keeps me from being proud. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. And what was Christ's answer to Paul? His answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. And how did Paul respond to that answer? Did he rebel and complain and say, I quit, you Lord have to take away my affliction before I can do what you're asking me to do? No, Paul boldly says, I am most happy to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul had learned the truth of relying totally on Christ. And so it must be for us. With Paul, we need to acknowledge that everything we have is a gift. Even our successes are God's, not ours. It's very easy to forget this. It's very easy to carry on the work here at this seminary to satisfy our own needs rather than build a community in which Christ's love is truly alive and active. I wonder if that's the reason that God, at different times in the history of this place, has sent challenges to humble us so that we lean on Him for our successes rather than on ourselves. Power in weakness. Do you understand it now? Are you and I still at times afflicted by those things we make afflictions, trying to be the first or best in whatever we do? Hagar the Horrible, in one of my favorite comic strips, knocks us off our feet, if that's true. The particular comic that I have in mind, one that I've saved for years, is this. Hagar is talking to his son, and the son asks him, "Dad, is it so important to come in first? Why?" And Hagar answers, "Because no one ever remembers who came in second." And then he says to his son, "Of course, after a short time, no one even remembers who comes in first." After a short time, no one remembers anyone who comes in first. And yet, when we understand the power that God's grace can have in our lives, we all come in first. We can play the game of right words and responses, of the right time and right place for God in our lives for only so long. But finally for us, as with the Apostle Paul, comes the time when we must place ourselves totally at the mercy of God. Then it is that we discover that in Christ we have everything. And wonder of wonders, then it is that we see that God forgives us, even for our pride. And when we have trouble remembering from where our gifts come, he helps us truly live under his grace and love. He reminds us that our Lord Christ was sent not only to die for and rise again to forgive us our sins, but to make us strong again. He who healed the sick and fed the hungry and gave sight to the blind will also heal and feed and clothe and strengthen us with his love. He promises us that, and he always keeps his promises, for his word accomplishes that of which it is spoken. That word gives us power. Yes, that word gives us power, not success. It gives us a hope and peace and joy that lasts forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.